Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Fix the Family Fix. Welcome to the Fix the Family Fix the Medical Radio Show.
Hey, folks. It's time for the show.
And now, here's your host for all this craziness, Jack Hatfield.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are here again for you, and wow, there are so many of you listening right now. I am absolutely stunned and crazed by the homework you people are doing. It's amazing. Again, my name is Jack Hatfield. How is everyone doing? Great night to you, or whatever time you're listening to the show. Lots of people do listen to the show on the non-live hours, but that's okay, perfectly fine. As long as it's listened to, you have 7 days between the time we start and the next time we start. So you can listen to me anytime in those 7 days. Now, remember what we're all about, ladies and gentlemen. Confucius said to put the world right in order. The world right in order. We must first put the nation in order. To put the nation in order, we must first put the family in order. But to put the family in order, we must first cultivate our personal life. You have to be a success for your family to be a success, for the nation to be a success, and for this planet to be a success. Then we'll work on the galaxies, Milky Ways, and other universes. But we can start right here with our exclusive 4+1 method. That includes positive fathering, make a difference mothering, pull through parenting, and finally reveal your success. The plus one method is disease and the diet and how control of your health is control of everything. Wow. What we're going to talk about today is just made me get started already, but how we're trying to prevent, heal, and cure degenerative diseases that are affecting hundreds of millions of families across this globe. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not just fixing the family, we're fixing the world. Had to have a sip. A fantastic libation, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you, this show has two things going for it right now. One, I'm going to spend an awful lot of time busting on Billy again. And two, we're gonna try to meander heavily, through the news industry and how some things get turned around and manipulated and fondled before you, regular family, just like me, get the news the regular ways, or at least the ways they think you're getting it. But of course, this audience, you people, every one of you, know, you already know, or else you wouldn't be listening. And you already know it's very vital for you to go out and tell everyone you could possibly imagine. In fact, your homework again, and let me let me thank you for last week's homework. You guys were incredible. If you talk to every person that you came in contact with and told them to listen to this show, and one showed up, apparently a lot of you are, there's a lot of you, because we, again, are quadrupling weekly here. So let's go for it again. Every person you meet, remember, if you see someone in a car, that's right, if they're driving in the car and you pass them, hit them with your car, get out your car and go, excuse me, you need to listen to Fix the Family, Fix America with Jack Hatfield on Blog Talk Radio. And then get back in your car and drive off. You don't need to worry about all that other stuff. Just drive off. They'll go, okay, and then maybe they'll listen. Maybe they'll think. If you're willing to wreck your car to tell them, then this is obviously an important show, right? Another sip. Another what happened last night. I apparently slept on my side. Been working out. You should see this. I've got a body built for radio. It's awesome. Apparently laid on my side and touched my shoulders together. I think that's what happened, because my chest and breathing is slightly difficult, just a little bit. So if you hear me hit a pause when it doesn't seem exactly when it's supposed to happen, it's just me trying to breathe. I don't know. It's like my shoulders just, I don't know. Squeeze yourself. See if you can touch your shoulders. Goodness. Well, all right. So, what are we talking about today again? Oh, yeah. More Dumb Billy. Can we call him that? I think that's a good new name for him. Dumb Billy stuff. Yeah, Dumb Billy. All right. We'll get into him a little bit. Then we're going to talk about implants to your brain. That's right. Deep brain stimulation cures everything we've ever thought of. Awesome stuff. That doesn't sound bad, does it? If we have time, we'll get to foods that can improve your looks. For not for the audience now, currently. Not for every one of you listening. If you hear me right now, I know you don't need this advice. But you can go tell someone that you know, you can say, you know what, I think you need to eat more of this, because it may help you a lot. We're going to learn about, a reverse deportation? Someone trying to break into this country? No way. Break out of a country to come to this country to save their family? I don't know. That's weird. Why would they do that? Just strange. GAC? What is GAC? We're going to hear about that. Then we're going to know from Clear Science what the cell phone to your ear is doing to you. Yep. And then remember, we talked about how beer is getting very healthy. So is wine. Wine's getting a good thing to say you get all this stuff. Right? Beer is now coming up saying better for your heart than actually wine. But then there's lots of people getting very upset that you even talk about that. So we're going to learn about what that is. And then this is an important statement here, ladies and gentlemen. This is big. This is real big. There's a dwarf village. Scientists found a dwarf village that could cure all cancer and diabetes. Just done. Oh, and it can also control the entire population and that way have administration that controls everything you do. Yeah. A dwarf village that can cure cancer, diabetes, and control your mind. We're going to get into that. And then we're going to get into how this guy warped the story on the dwarf village into what he normally morphs stuff in, and we're going to bring him out today because we're tired of just him being a pawn But then the big time talk that we're going to do is Dumb Billy. We're going to talk about Dumb Billy and a whole bunch of stuff. Even today. Woo! Today, the Supreme Court's even came down with some rulings. That's weird. Supreme Court did some work today. Okay, so we're going to talk about that. And then Dumb Billy and all that good stuff. And we'll go from there. So, without further ado, thank you for listening to Fix the Family, Fix America Radio. We are here to make a real positive difference in generations to come, not just now, not just you. I understand you're my favorite listener. Yes, you are. But for generations that you will create. Now, there's two listeners right now that shouldn't do that. We won't point, okay? But for the other hundreds of millions of you that are listening, you guys are all right. Well, let's get to it, shall we? Notice something else, my regular listeners, the hundreds of millions of you that are currently listened for the last year. This show, that's right. This is we've been doing this show for over a year now. Fix the Family, Fix America has been changing generations for over a year, and that is stunning. Stunning that someone hasn't called us to say, hey, you can't be against Soy. You can't call him Dumb Billy. You can't report on this. You can't expose the real truth under this article. Well, watch me. Watch me, people. It's what we do. Because we're going to make the truth come out. We're going to make smarter generations, right? So this show doesn't even have to exist when I pass, because the generations that will come after will be like, I don't know. Fix the Family, Fix America would have called total BS on this article. And you will then know what the news media is doing. Without ado, I want to talk about this family. This is big. This is amazing to me. 13-month-old boy. This is a family with their 13-month-old child. This child is a year and a month old, the exact age of this show. Okay? The family, again, with all hope and prayers, the family was told by court order to remove the boy's breathing tube. That's right. That's right. A court order. The boy's name is Josie Miracle, and he's been in a vegetative state at a hospital in London, Ontario, since last fall. He's been treated for a neurodegenerative disease that doctors ruled leaves no hope for the boy. Now, that may be true. Right? That may be true. But if you were the parent and look at your child right now, would you like to be told by a court order that you have to remove the breathing tube? The 13-month-old is teetering on life support. All right? The Supreme Court judge ordered Joseph's breathing tube to be removed on Monday. But guess what? His family refused. Strange, huh? Insisting the boy be released to his family's care. The family says removing the ventilator would promise an agonizing death for the boy. They asked the doctors at least perform a tracheotomy that would allow Joseph to die at home, but that hospital refused to do that. So, the parents are now trying to move their son to a Detroit hospital. The Children's Hospital of Michigan. And they have agreed to look at his lengthy medical record to determine if he's a candidate for transfer. Parents, of course, say he's a human. He has a right to fight. The office, Supreme Court, could rule as soon as Tuesday whether Joseph can be taken off the ventilator immediately. But the father, Mo, says, I believe in my son, and I will never let my son die in the doctor's way. He simply wants his son to choose. Now, let's take everything out of it and let's talk about the family. Okay? Let's talk about father and mother. They've already went through 13 months of praying, hoping, wishing their son would wake up, be normal. And then suddenly, some guy, just a guy. Yeah, that's right, I said a guy, I said it. Says, I'm tired of paying for it. You can argue that he's not saying he's tired for paying for it, but remember, Canadian care is all free. It's universal health care up there. So when things get deemed too expensive, they get told they have to stop. Is it fair for that to be determined? If you were the father or mother, are you simply not seeing reality? Are you simply not seeing that your child's dead already? As a parent, I know that I can never give up hope. We have a saying around here, we don't hope, because hope is flopping through life without a plan and a reality of determination to change the outcome. Because if you're just sitting there hoping that, you know, the millionaire lottery wins but you never buy a ticket, that's a very similar situation. So, when my daughter was the sickest baby in the NICU, on a oscillating ventilator, where the breaths go in and out of her lungs like 63 times a second or something like that, or 16 times a second. She was taking, basically she just vibrates. Her lungs stay inflated and she just vibrates as the air circulates in and out of her lungs. Now her lungs obviously were as big as your thumb, so that didn't take a lot of power. But I never once did I even think that she wouldn't be okay. So I can see these parents sitting there. You may call it unable to see the truth, but I can call it able to see the dream. You can call it failure to see reality, but I can call it truthfully seeing your desire. Yes, while everyone around them with their heart not in it, with nothing on the line here, no skin in the game, as the current phrases have been, all of those people can sit there and go, he's just a vegetable. He's nothing. He can be nothing. The parents, however, they see only one thing, and that's their child. So this is stunning to me. Supreme Court orders that he must be killed, basically, because they're tired of paying for it. So the parents are trying to flee and bring their boy here just to see if there's a chance. So that's a deep, deep, dark opener for Fix the Family, Fix America, let me tell you. And I fully understand the arguments to and fro. I just labeled them for you. But again, you may call it they can't see the reality. I call it they can see their dreams and what they're hoping for. And they can see their family running through fields or playing on a swing. I never saw the ventilator on my daughter. I saw the ventilator next to my daughter. It was a unique device, blowing, circulating, oscillating. But whenever I looked at her, I saw nothing. There was no wires, no tubes, no nothing. It was just her. In fact, there's several pictures that we have that we call it, you know, laying on a cloud. It's amazing because when they turn all the lights down at night and the lights are over the babies and they're laying on their cotton, you know, beds and pillows, it really looks like they're laying on clouds already. We have several pictures of that. You don't see the tubes and the wires as a father and a mother. You see the baby. The baby. So we're going to keep intact. If you can, and you want to find out more about this Canadian family trying to keep their boy's breathing tube in place, get up there and like me on Twitter and Facebook, because that's where we keep up with all of this stuff throughout the week. And I will be giving updates on this boy as they come through. And And that's another way to learn what happens in the whole week prior to listening to this show. You get to get all the updates as they happen. We update it faster than anyone else. Can you imagine? You got your phone set at your Twitter account and suddenly comes across Canadian boy, as spoke about, suddenly off breathing tube and is okay. Wouldn't that be great? So do that. Go to Twitter now. It's twitter.com/thejackhatfield and twitter.com/jackhatfield, facebook.com/thejackhatfield. Like me on Facebook, like Fix the Family, Fix America on Facebook as well, and please get me on Twitter so that you can get the updates as they come on. Because there's a lot of time between this show, and yes, just like we answered the call, last year we were 1 hour show. All of last year we were 1 hour show, and we had so many people going, you're always out of time, you never get all your stories, blah, 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 blah. Because every single show last year, you can listen to it at the end. It's going, well, let me get this one in real quick. And then I had to say, bye. So we doubled the size of the show. We increased it. We increased it 100%. For you. By your request. And we still run out of time. Because guess what? We have the stories to fill the 2 hours. We have the story to fill the week. Do you understand this? That's why you have to follow us on Twitter and get with me on Facebook. You've got to do that. Now, if we get enough people on Twitter and Facebook that are listening to the show, then we're in some business. Then we can start being a powerful force and we can find out what's going on in this world and generations are going to change. But that story right there hits home. And I know as parents listening, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Absolutely amazing. We wish you well, Joseph. Remember, follow us, find out more. Fix the Family, Fix America. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned. I'm not kidding. It really does. Really does. Okay, so let's get into this. We're going to get into some scientific news on health real quick today before we get into our stuff. 50 minutes with a cell phone plastered to your ears, enough to change your brain cell activity in the part of the brain closest to the antenna. What? Wait, this can't be true. Hang on a second. Something's not right. Because they keep telling us years and years and over and over and over, can't hurt you. No problem. I don't see anything. Remember, I don't know, I think it was last year, there was the latest article. Cell phones, towers found that absolutely cause absolutely no harm. In fact, they're good for the world. They make things warmer. I don't know. We delve deep into the article to see what they were trying to say. And we found out the study was done by this doctor who owned stock in Vodafone. which was a British company, and it was sponsored by, another telephone company. So it's kind of weird that these telephone company studies said no problems. But we delved into that. That's why you listen to the show. And again, we thank you for being here. This is the first line. Spending 50 minutes with a cell phone plastered to your ears enough to change brain cell activity in the part of the brain closest to the antenna. Now, here's the key. Here's the key. Whether or not that causes any harm is not clear, the scientist said. No idea. In fact, they said this study that we found that you change brain cell activity in your brain will not settle the recurring concerns of a link between cell phones and brain cancer. It just won't do it. So basically, what we did on this study was prove that something occurred, but we don't see, and we're not saying any way that it could possibly be a complete link. So therefore, what we did was not a lot, right? What they did was showed glucose metabolism, a sign of brain activity, increases in the brain in people who were exposed to the cell phone in the area closest to the antenna. It was meant to examine how the brain reacts to electromagnetic fields caused by wireless phone signals. Now, the scientist involved said she was surprised, Mrs. Dr. Nora Volkow. Right? She was surprised that the weak electromagnetic radiation from cell phones could affect brain cell activity. Surprised! Now, again, as soon as she said that, I'm surprised that this weak little electromagnetic radiation could alter and affect and change brain activity. But these findings do not say whether cell phones cause cancer. That was her next words. This, and then she goes on. This study does not in any way indicate that. What the study does is to show the human brain is sensitive to electromagnetic radiation from cell phone exposures. That's it. That's all the study shows. It shows that the cell phones can alter your brain. That's all the study shows. She keeps saying that over and over and over. Now, everyone knows cell phones have increased dramatically since the mid-1980s, right? And some studies have linked cell phone exposure to increased risk of brain cancers. But the World Health Organization came up soon, recently, probably very recently, and said that's inconclusive. And this study finding for 100% fact that the antenna portion, the brain portion next closest to the antenna, was indeed affected, no big deal. What they did was they studied people who had brain scans while a cell phone was turned on for 50 minutes and another while the phone was turned off. Now, she said there was no overall change in brain metabolism as a whole, but there was a 7% increase in brain metabolism in the region closest to the cell phone antenna. Again, they said the results were very intriguing. And they said this, although the biological significance, if any, of increased glucose metabolism from acute cell phone exposure is unknown, the results warrant further investigation. What? Meaning we just did this study so that we can do more studies. Now another scientist picks up on this and says, wow, these results are interesting since the study now says there is a direct effect of cell phone signals on brain function. A direct effect. But, ladies and gentlemen, as you do when you listen to this show, guess what else changes your brain metabolism? Thinking! So, look around you. You know you go to work with them. There's an awful lot of people out there doing no thinking. Isn't it great that they're using cell phones on a higher level to give them increased brain activity, increased brain function? So now when you see the stupid person on the cell phone crossing the street in front of traffic, that's his way of thinking. Right? It's got to be. That's why we see so many people on the cell phone drive like a maniac. It's their brain. Now, again, listen to this show and thinkers that you are my beloved audience. I can't tell. If I could hug every one of you, I would. Not right now, though. Remember, my chest hurts. Just kind of touch my shoulder together. Okay, anyway, back to idiots. I mean, people with cell phones. I mean, people with cell phones driving and pulling in front of my car. Or your car. I don't like them if they pull in front of your car. So, larger fluctuations in the brain metabolic rate, can't even talk now, occur naturally, such as when the person is thinking. So, because I'm going to correlate the fact that the person on the cell phone driving like a maniac or walking like a doofus, okay, is getting their brain metabolic rate up because of that antenna, right? We're going to have to assume that that's their thought process. So now you can feel a little more sorry for those people that do those things. Now, if further studies, listen to this. In other words, saying this study was all good, but we need some more money to do a little bit more. Because if further studies confirm that mobile phone signals do have direct effects on brain metabolism, then it will be important, again, another study, to investigate whether such effects have implications for health. So, this study that confirmed phone signals have direct effects on brains is not enough. They must do further studies to confirm they have direct effects on brain metabolism. Then, when they do multiple studies of this to prove that it has direct effects on brain metabolism, then they must do further studies to investigate whether such effects have implications for health. All right? Then those findings will suggest the need for more study to see if cell phones have a negative effect on brain cells. Wow, that sounds like a never-ending funding program. But here's the really, really awesome part. Ladies and gentlemen, get this, the really awesome part. The scientist in charge of this study, Dr. Norm Volkow, quick to point out, this study has no correlation between cancer and phone stuff, says, because of this study, I'm not taking any chances. She now uses an earphone instead of placing a cell phone next to her ear. Covers up doing that by saying this. I'm not saying there's any risk, but in case there is, why not? Why not? Okay, there you go. The scientist who did a study that found out the cell phone directly affects your brain cells, but then goes and says, that's no big deal, because we're going to need more studies to prove it. But because of what I've seen as head of this study, I'm no longer going to place a cell phone next to my brain. I'm not saying that's a problem with it, but in case there is, Do you people understand what I just went through? Can you grasp the fact that there's a direct, absolute correlation? And yes, it's not proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that it causes brain cancer. Because, remember, we talk about it all the time. Cancer is not a one-time thing unless you have a carcinogen. But layer upon layer upon layer of all this crud is leading to increased cancer rates across the board. So the scientist, again, saw the results, not putting a phone to her head. I think you need to do the math on that. I think you need to do the math on that. Let's talk about alcohol. Woo! In the past, we spoke about how beer was really good for your heart as well as wine, okay? But a proposed rule by the Alcohol and Tobacco Tax and Trade Bureau. When did they add the tax in there? I thought it was just the Alcohol and Tobacco Bureau. But now it's the Alcohol and Tobacco. They had to put the tax and Trade Bureau in there. It's considered makers to slap nutrition facts on their containers. That's right. That's exactly what I just said. You, every one of us that drink a nice 27-year-old scotch, you pull out the bottle, you turn it around, you see that it has 6 grams of carbs in it, you're going to go, you know, I'm on a diet. I can't do this 27-year-old rare scotch right now because I'm kind of trying to watch my figure. That's what? That's right. When you have wine on a date, Valentine's Day was just recently. I'm sure it was 8 days away from now, right? 8 days ago. When you were out on that date with your significant other and you were looking them gingerly in their eye and going, oh, I love this. Would you like some wine? And so the sommelier brings you the wine. I said it. There's smart people in this room. Brings you the wine, and you grab it, and you look at the label, and it's a rare, rare red coming out of France. Somewhere. I don't know. I love California wine. So coming out of Napa Valley, rare Napa Valley. 8 years old, it's fantastic. It's at the prime of its creation. Perfectly chilled. It hasn't seen light since it was made. And you turn it over and you look at that nutrition fact guidelines to go, you know, I'm going to keep the cork in this one. Can you bring me something with less calories? That's exactly what drinkers are thinking of. In fact, every bar, we have a lot of bars around here with the people's that talk Southern, like me. That's right. I know what you're saying. I know all of you go, is he Southern sometimes? Sometimes comes out. That's right. But we have a lot of bars around here in the South. And I promise you this, every time they go up and I'm going to order my favorite beer. As soon as those labels are slapped on their favorite beer, they're going to turn around and go, I did not know that. I am going to switch from my tried and true beer that I've had and drank at 5:30 o'clock on Friday night for the last 75 years. I'm going to have to trade this in because it's got 110 calories in it. Guy Smith, North American Executive Vice President of Diageo. That's right. Grab this fact, people. Let me tell you why he's pushing for this. This guy owns a company. He owns the world, not owns. He's Executive Vice President of the world's leading premium wine. In the U.S., where consumers don't know what's inside. That's not true. There are plenty of snack foods, plenty of fast foods, plenty of hidden ingredients in processed foods. Anyway, he says it's just silly. It is just silly to not have this information available to consumers. What? The petitioners that are trying to get the Alcohol and Tobacco Tax and Trade Bureau. And they also changed the acronym for this thing. Wouldn't it be ATTTB? I thought it was always the ATB. No? They've changed it. It's now the TTB. They throw the A away. And apparently throw away tax or trade. So in reality, it's the Tobacco Tax Bureau, the TTB. Don't worry about the alcohol and trade part. Or it's the Tobacco Trade Bureau. Or it's Tax and Trade Bureau. It's probably that one. But they throw the alcohol completely off. Then why are you even petitioning beer, wine, and spirits makers when you don't even worry about the A in your acronym? Excuse me, I have to have a libration. My lungs are screaming at me. Forgetting this vocal. But this is hilarious. This is hilarious. Anywhere, they're saying consumers, that's you, you and me, you and I, we have to guess. We're having to guess the makeup of our alcoholic beverages we consume. That's right. That's right. And while the industry generally agrees consumers have the right to the information, some worry that a regulation would inevitably benefit some over others. What? That's right. Just as producers of light beer has resorted to reporting carbohydrate content. For those of us who produce craft specialty products, nutrients hold little value and is far less likely to be considered by consumers thereof. This issue, by the way, has been on the table since 2003. When several consumer and public health advocacy groups, those people that are just too bored, they petitioned the TTB, which is really the ATTTB, requesting alcohol facts on containers. Yep. So, like I say, yes, that's exactly what I think. Now, a global strategy group study. That's right. Global strategy group. They sound like they did a very unique study, but they said 91% support requiring an ingredient label on alcoholic beverages. 94% say they support alcohol content. What doesn't have alcohol content on it? 80 proof vodka is 40%. 101 Wild Turkey, my particular favorite, 50.5%. Barrel proof Wild Turkey varies because of its natural nature. 89% support the mandatory labeling of calories and 84% supported serving sizes. That's exact. College students all across the country, that's exactly what they're missing. They are going, you know what, I want a shot of this and a shot of that. And then the guy turned around and goes, wait, it says the serving size is only 2 tablespoons. Oh, well, then stop pouring the shot. Go grab me a spoon. Go grab me a spoon. Now, this is even funnier. The guy from Diageo, okay, here's another argument he made. He said, while a consumer may not know the exact calorie count of a potato chip served on a plate in a restaurant, for example, they can at least make an informed ballpark estimate. If that was true, my disease and the diet classes that are happening across this country would not have to show people what 1 ounce or 5 ounces of meat is. How to calculate grams. How to figure out the number of teaspoons of sugar in a product. Diageo, by the way, the biggest thing they want is for people to understand that Guinness is 128 calories. That's right. Diageo's main comment is most people don't know that Guinness has fewer calories than most light beers. Or that distilled spirits have no carbohydrates. Well, if those people don't know that, then they're not going to know from seeing it on a serving fact. You know the people who know Guinness is good? Guinness drinkers. And you know how a Guinness drinker is going to become a Guinness drinker? Sitting next to someone drinking a Guinness at a bar and guy going, here, taste this. It's not going to be, you have no idea this is only 128 calories. You should try it. I love pointing out the absolute ignorance. Because look how many labels on a pack of cigarettes there are. It says on the side of a pack of cigarettes, cigarettes will cause death, cancer, emphysema, and this will kill you. You will die if you open this package. You will explode internally right now if you pull the label off this package. And it hasn't stopped a smoker yet. People who want to smoke continue to do so. People who are going to drink Guinness are going to do what? Drink Guinness. That hurt. That whole inhale that I just did, that was painful. Oh, wow. Crazy. Oh, by the way, Guinness has 0 fat, 11 carbohydrates, and 1 gram of protein with 4.2% alcohol by volume, which is 0.6 fluid ounces of alcohol per fluid ounce. Tell me the number of people in a bar going, all right, let me calculate this. Hang on. 0.6 fluid ounces of alcohol in this beverage here, this Guinness, which there's 12 fluid ounces inside it. So I've got to take 12 and multiply it by the calories, divide by the carbs, and then get the 80 proof vodka and then take a shot of tequila. And that'll be I'll know how much alcohol is in this thing. That's what they're doing. Oh, I just love nuts. And when I say nuts, that's people doing nutrition. Remember, we speak about this all the time. Because there's a proposed law from your health people, Department of Health and Human Services. There's a proposed law that they're trying to work on to put that nutrition facts label, the nutrition facts label, Not on the back of cans and bottles in the grocery store, but on the front. I don't make this up. I know what you're saying. Everyone sitting, everyone in this audience is so smart. You sat there right when I said that went, well, what are they going to put on the back? Guess what they're going to put on the back? Guess what manufacturers are going to do? In fact, it's already happened. Just today, when you go in a grocery store, I want you to look at all the bottles. Every one of them has the nutrition label on the front. And the product's name was on the back, but guess what the grocery store did? Oh, they turned it around so you could see the bottle. I'm not making that up. That is real. That is a real, real deal. Speaking of nuts, I know you go to, some of you go to work and you look around and you're going, okay, I just heard about all the nutrition stuff and all of you people around me are nuts and most of you aren't doing any work and my God, I make this place run. Well, wouldn't it be nice if you started your own business? Wouldn't it be nice if you finally said, you know what, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to go out and tell people how nutty these nutritioners are. They're crazy. Crazy. So you go and start your own business and you sit there and you go, okay, it's going to be a new business. Going to tell people exactly how it is about nutrition and get away from these nuts. Now what do I do next? That's right. You're sitting there going, what do I do next? Well, I'll tell you what you do next. You need a logo. You need a website. You need letterhead. Envelopes. You need business cards that say who you are, don't you? You need a website that says, ah, my business is the best business in the world. You need a social media calendar so that you can get on there and start getting involved, right? Where can you go to get all of that? Wait a minute. You even need a laptop that's smaller than the big ancient one you've had in your work so that you can be the jet setter that you need to be in your new business, right? Where would you go to get that? All of that? You'd have to go to computer stores, printers, designer graphics artist places and spin out the wazoo from the blase people that are looking at you going, you want a logo for what? Nutrition? That's been done by planners already, I do believe. Hardy, har, har. That's right, you have to go all over town. So now, you started your own business, but you're spending so much time starting your business, you got nothing. Then finally you quit, and you go back, slink back to your boss and go, I'm sorry, I left. And your boss says, glad you're back, we start you back at the bottom. You have a 75% cut in pay, and we're going to beat you nightly. You don't want that, do you? No, of course not. That's why you go to sandhill.sohooffice.com. These people do everything I just said. That's right. Logo design. It's not a hoity-toity graphic artist. It's someone looking at you because they've done hundreds of billions of businesses and helped you and them become better at what they're doing. So they get right to the nitty of the gritty. I want to do X. Okay, your logo needs to be, bam, look at that. And you go, that's pretty. That's pretty. And you go, well, when I meet someone and I want to tell them about my business, what do I do? Bam, there's a business card. You look at that thing they just designed. You go, that's pretty. I need to stop with the inhaling. That's what's going to happen right now. Let's whistle instead. That's pretty. You go, but once they get my business card, how are they going to get in contact with me? My cell phone. Yeah, that's a good number, but wouldn't it be great if they could go to a website and find out all about me? They would do that too. And I need a laptop. They do that too. Sandhill at Soho Office does it all. The one-stop shop for the entrepreneur. Logos, websites, social media, envelopes, business cards, everything you need to get started, one place. One place. I don't make this up, people. It's a beautiful thing. Now let's get to the second hour where we talk about Dumb Billy. Woo!
Welcome to the Victor Family Victor Malco Radio Show!
Hey, folks. It's time for the show.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
And now, here's your host for all this craziness, Jack Hatfield.
Tonight, and welcome to the second hour of Fix the Family, Fix America Radio, the world's most, actually universe's fastest growing family talk show currently. That's right, the universe's fastest growing family talk show. We can, okay, let's take it all the way back to the world's fastest growing family talk show, and it's all because of you. You doing your homework, and your homework again is the exact same thing. Every person you see, you run up to them and say, I'm going to need you to listen to Fix the Family, Fix America with the host, Jack Hatfield. Yeah, that's right. You can put me in there. It's okay. Because you can tell him he said some stuff about Confucius. And that stuff is to put the world right in order. We must first put the nation in order. To put the nation in order, we must first put the family in order. To put the family in order, we must first cultivate our personal life. And we do that here at Fix the Family, Fix America with our exclusive 4+1 method. That includes positive fathering, make a difference mothering, pull through parenting, and finally reveal your success. The plus one is disease in the diet and blah, 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 beating down all of the nutrition news so that we get to the facts, so that you can make informed decisions of what to eat, play, shoot into your body. Now, I'm going to get to three big things here before I get to Dumb Billy, because Dumb Billy needs a lot of my time tonight. Before I get to the dwarves, not Snow White, these dwarves in a remote village in Ecuador, I want to get to some scientists now are saying that we can do brain pacemakers to fight psychiatric disease. And do deep brain stimulation. That's right. They will simply implant a brain pacemaker. Doesn't that sound so nice? A brain pacemaker. Into your brain. And you'll have no psychiatric issues. Tourette's gone. Obsessive compulsive disorder gone. Depression gone. Well, what are you? Oh, wait. You could be a robot. I understand, doctor. Thank you so much. I feel so much better after you implanted this device. How does it work? Let me tell you. Surgeons implant a wire deep inside your brain. No big problem there. That's easy, right? Tiny electrical jolts, that's right, those things that came out of Frankenstein's neck, running from a pacemaker-like generator near your collarbone, up the neck to that electrode in your brain, disables the overactive nerve cells in your brain to stop the problem. Now, this has been done for Parkinson's disease. 70,000 people in the world have undergone deep brain stimulation to stop shaking. Okay? In fact, some worst-case Parkinson's patients, they destroy those patches of brain tissue and the shaking can be lessened. But with deep brain stimulation, the electrodes don't destroy the tissue. And this is key, ladies and gentlemen. This is the big key to this. The electrical signals can be adjusted or even turned off if they don't help or if they cause neurological side effects. But who's going to worry about that? Oh, this surgery, however, does sometimes cause dangerous brain bleeding or infections. That was the legal ease. Because it's absolutely normal all the time for us to put a wire deep inside our brain. So what they're saying, since they do this for Parkinson's, they would do it putting the electrode in a different spot of the brain to stop all the psychiatric stuff. Like you people that are thinking, I've got an idea. We just heard about cell phones, without a doubt, altering your brain cells, without a doubt. But no, there is absolutely no confirmation that this study proves that there's cancer-causing stuff from cell phones. Anyway, without a doubt, changes your brain cells. Why don't we simply put the wire deep in the brain, and then every time you put your cell phone up to your ear, it touches that wire, and then you get the deep brain stimulation. And then the antenna also affects the other portion of the brain that it's close to. That would be a double bubble. That's right, I said a double bubble. Think of what we could do. Everyone's got cell phones, right? Just put a wire inside, deep inside our brain. That's right, it says deep. I don't want to, we cannot lambast over this. Deep. Deep. Now, guess what? The FDA has already approved Medtronic's version of the deep brain stimulation electrode. Medtronic. That's right. Because they said what we're going to do is we're going to take a small group of obsessive compulsive patients who got no relief from current treatments. In other words, all the stuff we've done so far doesn't work. So under a special program, we put these devices in these obsessive compulsive patients. See if they work. Well, here's the problem. Okay, well, if they did that in 2009, how good are these people doing? Oh, wait. The researchers are pushing for a registry to track the DBS recipients to better tell. Wait, they're not tracking them? They put it in their head and they didn't put a GPS in there at the same time? You were already putting a wire deep in their brain. Well, here's what they say. About 3/4 of the first few dozen patients significantly improved. Some as long as 8 years. Wait a minute. How? I thought it was approved in 2009. Oh, you didn't know that they've been doing it since 2000. Under the auspicious Brown University psychiatrist with a study funded by the National Institute of Mental Health. These are people that try to relieve fears or anxiety with obsessive behavior, such as washing their hands or checking locks repeatedly. But with a brain pacemaker, their behavior therapy starts working. Here's the big hurdle. The battery near the collarbone lasts 2 years. To change it, they got to go back in surgery. So they've now put rechargeable batteries in there, so you have to plug in your shoulder. Oh, that's funny. Hang on. I can't leave yet. I got to plug in my shoulder. Or else I'll start screaming curse words at the restaurant without my deep brain stimulation. I mean, I am not going to the restaurant until I'm fully charged. Oh, that isn't scary. They've been doing it since 2000, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. All the way back. I believe it was, let's see, early 90s, maybe. I mean, late 90s, right? When this big scandal occurred, and there's a lot of talk that oral sex really wasn't sex. So children and teenagers all were going, ah, I guess it's okay. Well, now guess what? It's bad. Because, and this is amazing stuff here. They have said something is worse than tobacco. And I don't know about you, but the war on tobacco is 375 years long. Right? Tax to death, the Alcohol, Tobacco, Tax and Trade Bureau. But now they're saying oral sex is a bigger cause of throat cancer than tobacco. Because of the human papillomavirus. Could be papilloma, I don't know, but we're going to call it papilloma. It's to blame for a disturbing rise in potentially deadly oral cancers in the last few decades. Now, the HPV vaccine. Ah, see, I'm getting into something that I'm not ready. Dumb Billy's not ready. Hold that thought. Remember oral sex, tobacco. Okay, remember that. And not in that way that we were talking about a minute ago. Go back to the dwarf village. You didn't pay to get in here, people. See, this is why I have no notes. I just have stuff. Okay, scientists are trying to determine whether a group of dwarves in Ecuador, this is very important now, we could rid cancer and diabetes, according to these people. All of them living in a remote village on the slopes of the Andes Mountains could hold the clues to cure cancer. The members of the group, about 100 of them, were closely studied by researchers from the University of Southern California. They never get cancer or diabetes, but they all suffer from mutated genes that lower their growth hormone activity, stunting their growth, making them dwarves. In an article published in the Journal of Science Translational Medicine, apparently that's a real magazine, researchers suggest that blocking growth hormone in full-grown adults through prescription drugs or a special diet could unlock the mysteries of cancer. Wait a minute. Do what now? In other words, these dwarves in Ecuador, because they're all dwarves, obviously it's the growth hormone that stopped them from getting cancer and diabetes, right? That has to be it. So now that we've proven that, right, without a shadow of a doubt, dwarves, no cancer. There you go. Dwarves, no cancer. We can make a drug, make everybody a dwarf. There'll be no cancer. That's right. That's exactly what the scientist at the University of Southern California said. If it works and blocking growth hormones in adults has only minor side effects, societies in the future could live without major illnesses, said cell biologist Walter Longo of the University of Southern California, who led the team studying the dwarfs. Longo goes on to say, even if blocking the hormones comes with a minor side effect, societies and governments would make the trade in exchange for less chronic disease. What? What? Now, instead of saying, I found the cure for cancer, and all I need to do is slowly work on growth hormones, right? Instead of saying, wait, let's back up for 2 seconds. Instead of saying, these dwarves live in a remote village on the slopes of the mountains where they breathe incredible air, they eat naturally fresh foods, they don't get anything out of a box, right? It can't be their nutrition or their place where they live. Or the fact that none of them own a cell phone. Can't be that. It has to be the fact that they're dwarves. Has to be. Well, can it also be the fact that because they're in a remote village of the Andes Mountains with 100 of them, they all are dwarves because they're related? And they never get cancer or diabetes because they don't really eat what people eat here. No, that can't be it. It has to be their dwarfs. And remember this guy from the University of Southern California. He doesn't get excited that he found the clues to cure cancer. He doesn't get excited about that. He says, even if we block the hormones through prescription drugs, and there's a side effect, such as dwarfism, just minor side effect. In other words, we block everyone's hormones and they don't grow so much. Governments and societies would make the trade. Wait a minute, why is the government suddenly in this? Shouldn't it be people would suddenly make the trade? Shouldn't there be some freedom of choice there? Well, Longo goes on in another statement to just blow your mind right now. I want you to get ready for this. You've got to grasp what he's about to say. He says it's the dream of every administration anywhere in the world. You live a long, healthy life, and then you drop dead. Not the dream of every person. Not the dream of every peoples. Not the dream of you and I. The dream of the administration. Government administration. University of Southern California. Do what now? Victor Walter Longo? Walter Longo? First of all, the science is flawed already. Don't even look at the diet or nothing. Just they're all dwarves. Cancer's over with. Make everybody dwarves. We have no cancer. And the government would love it. That's how that study went. I went and saw some dwarves. They're all dwarves. They don't have cancer. Make everybody dwarves. Government will love it. And there'll be a minor side effect. No big deal. You'll all be dwarves. There's byproducts to this, too, and I'm going to go ahead and say it. He didn't say it, but you know he's thinking it. Smaller houses. Smaller cars. Smaller impact. Oh. How can you look at this from the skewed eye? That he calls himself a scientist. So you expect there's a lot of people that tell you Fox News, Fox News, Fox News, right? Well, there's a guy on Fox News, Dr. Manny. I don't know if you heard of him. Okay? He read the same story I did from the same source I did. Okay? And he doesn't take from it that the biologist says the government would love to make everybody dwarves. No, he says, Dr. Manny from Fox News says, in a very interesting story published in the New York Times on Thursday, scientists say they are closer to unlocking the mysteries of cancer and increasing longevity through their studies of a community of dwarves living in a remote village in Ecuador. Now, the common factor among the Ecuadorian village is that they all have a genetic mutation that is blocking a key growth hormone, and this mutation seems to offer lifelong protection against cancer and diabetes. He repeats the common factor of dwarfism. Not the fact they live in the Andes Mountains, in a remote village in Ecuador. He says specifically, this is a mutation in the gene that makes a receptor for growth hormone, making it unable to react to growth hormone. In children with this gene mutation, growth hormone forces liver cells to produce another hormone called insulin-like growth factor, which makes children grow. If children with mutation are given IGF prior to reaching puberty, they can grow to a relatively normal height. Remember, minor side effect. In laboratories, researchers study roundworms, which have a hormone similar to IGF called DAF2. That's not even close. ID, GA, and FF. That's the only close, FF. And then 1 and 2. Worms that do not produce DAF2 live twice as long as worms that do not produce the hormone. What? So, dwarf worms live longer than non-dwarf worms. And to Dr. Manny, he says this story proves we are coming closer and closer to truly understand the biology of cancer and cell growth. That's right. But he points out this little weird thing. There's plenty of environmental toxins that have been strongly associated with cancer, such as tobacco, nicotine, tar. Have to attack the ATTTTTB, right? And contain certain petrochemicals. But it ought to be the... My daughter learned the T sound from the tapping, so we ought to just go A. B. But in order for a cancer cell to become a major tumor, you need to alter some of the body's internal pathways that lead to cellular multiplication. What? Say that again? And according to this particular story, remember, he read the same story I did. He says there's certain hormones, like human growth hormone, that may have some indirect effect on the regulation of cancer cells. Here's his closing paragraph. Dr. Manny. Doctor, I really have no free thought in myself. I'm just looking for whoever wants to give me money. That's what he is. To the average American, this may mean nothing, but to a lot of scientists, this is indeed very exciting. We're getting closer and closer and coming up with effective cures for devastated diseases that at one time were death sentences. What? To the average American, this may mean nothing. If it was absolutely proven that you cured cancer by making everybody a dwarf, then you come out and say it. Look, I made a dwarf, never got cancer. Look, I made another dwarf, never got cancer. Look, there's another dwarf, never got cancer. And lives among you. Not lives in the mountains in a remote village. Not eating the food you do. Never going to McDonald's. No, that dwarf, no, that's not the same. Bring the dwarf here. Feed him our stuff. Let him get the 288,000 products with soy in it. Let him get a hold of McDonald's and love it. Love it. Oh, excuse me. Loving it. Let him make a run for the border and get 88% meat. We keep bringing up stuff we talk about because we're smart here. We're smart here. There's smart people in this room. There's smart people in the room that you're in. That's why you listen to this show. That's why it's so much fun. Ha ha! This is great. You know what we forgot to do? I'm so mad right now. Forgot the Pledge of Allegiance. Certainly did. I'm very angry. Because when the second hour class starts up, we must do the Pledge of Allegiance. It's forgotten in schools all across the country, but it is making a comeback. Let's do it now, since I forgot.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, and indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, again, I forgot that right after the opener of the second hour, that's supposed to be played. And I had to get started because I still have so many things to talk about. But I just want to expose Dr. Manny, Fox News, shill for the common prescription drug. Toe the line. Idiotic way of looking at nutrition. He read the same article I read and then regurgitated what the man said. He didn't say the administration would love it. I don't even know how that comes into brains. Administration would love to make everybody dwarves and hold their growth back. Could you imagine if there were protests, they could just walk out and go, hey, stay back. And it'd be like the tall guy, the bully in the Little Rascal films when he held Spanky and Spanky's just swinging. He's holding his head. Administration. Terrible. Okay, now, let's talk about GAC. Since I said GAC early at the beginning, you're probably going, what's GAC? GAC's a fruit, strange and beautiful fruit, coming from Vietnam. It's harvested in December and January. It's also cultivated in Southeast Asia and China. It's magnificently red. That's also known as the Chinese bitter cucumber. It's rich in antioxidants, beta-carotene, lycopene, zeaxanthin. Contains the highest concentration of beta-carotene of any known fruit or vegetable. 10 times as much as carrots. That's right. GAC fruit is traditionally cooked into a glutinous rice to produce a brilliant orange rice dish known as Zoi GAC. They have used GAC fruit to treat burns, eyes, skin problems, and wounds. The juice of the fruit is a healthy beverage good for eyes, immunity, reproduction, skin, heart, health, and prostate. Today, GAC fruit extracts are making their way into the supplement products in the U.S. and abroad. GAC. Get ready. Here comes your latest pomegranate, blueberry, goji berry, acai berry, something, 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 something berry. You grasping what I'm saying here, ladies and gentlemen? Once they find out that there's, okay, lycopene's good for you, so we need 100 million pounds of it. Well, there's lots of lycopene in tomatoes. Let's make a super tomato. Wait, I found something with more lycopene. The goji berry. Okay, good. The goji berry has to be made on tremendous levels and given to everybody immediately because we've never eaten it before. That's right. The goji berry is 8 years old. Pomegranate juice. People, for years. But when they finally did a study on it, they went, hey, this is actually good for you. We should feed it to everyone. I'm not knocking it. You should drink it. I drink it. Fantastic. The latest fruit, when cooked, is no longer good for you when it comes in that pasteurized bottle. You get some GAC, squish it yourself, good to go. That's what the last thing is called. GAC, smack, flack, pack of that. You got to get it fresh. You got to get it right. All right, so alcohol, sex, and tobacco. Don't even know how these things go together. Okay, we did a lot of stuff here, real quick. Let's relax a second. can't buy cool. I'm sorry, you're a nerd that sat in the garage and created Windows. How did we get to Dumb Billy already? Because oral sex is a bigger cause of throat cancer than tobacco, and that's the reason why we need to have the HPV virus vaccine. Right? Even doctors are saying boys need to be vaccinated against it, just like teenage girls, to stop the spread of the disease. The HPV, the human papilloma virus, is now thought to be the main cause of throat cancer in people under 50. Now, let me tell you, cervical cancer, the reason that they found the HPV virus and created the HPV vaccine is a disease that kills nearly 1,000 women every year. Okay, so does the virus cause cancer? Not by itself. No, chronic HPV stuff causes cancer. Okay? Just because you get HPV does not mean you have cancer or will get cancer, because HPV is not cancer. It's a viral infection that can lead to cancer in some people if the virus does not naturally clear from your body, as it does for most people within 2 years. All right? High risk factors for developing chronic HPV are smoking, co-infection with herpes, chlamydia, HIV, long-term birth control use, and multiple births. In fact, infection with HPV is very common. It's estimated 20 million Americans have an HPV infection at any given time. It's so common, most sexually active people will get it at some time in their lives. Now, if that sounds common to you, how all of a sudden is there a vaccine to go in every female to take care of this?
Oh, wait.
That vaccine it's not a cancer vaccine. That Gardasil, that's not a cancer vaccine. In fact, that's a vaccine for only two strains of human papilloma viruses that in some instances can lead to cancer. Gardasil's other two HPV strains in the vaccine are for genital warts, which don't cause cancer. Since there are 15 HPV strains that can lead to cancer, Gardasil vaccinated girls can still get cervical cancer from the other 13 HPV strains not contained in the vaccine. And the vaccine doesn't work if you've already been infected with the HPV strains in the vaccine. What? That's not what we're hearing. On the news, we're hearing that Gardasil created an HPV vaccine that's saving little girls' lives, right? It's the wonder vaccine to end cervical cancer. They get to say the cancer word. Guess how many in 4 years Gardasil sales have now skyrocketed to over $1.1 billion. But it just posted its 2010 sales at $219 million. So it made $1.1 billion in its first 9 months. But now it's just getting $219 million in sales, and that's not good in drug world. And analysts and investors are scrambling to figure out what went wrong. That's right, I said analysts and investors are scrambling to figure out what went wrong. Not doctors, not parents. Analysts and investors. You know, cause all these problems. CNN said there was a design flaw. It also faults the economy. It's a bad economy. Or puritanical parents. You people that read and think that your child doesn't need it. Oh, bad press also. That's bad. And Merck itself. the article on CNN Money. That's right, CNN Money has a Gardasil article talking about how the sales of the vaccine is lowered. Says, ends with this hypothesis. Maybe people just aren't ready for a cancer vaccine when it's for a sexually transmitted disease. It's not a cancer vaccine. I love how they twisted it. I just told you the HPV vaccine, Gardasil, is not a cancer vaccine. It's a vaccine for two strains of the HPV. There are 15 HPV strains. That leaves you with 13 HPV strains you can get and still have it cause you cancer. But, again, you probably have already gotten HPV and gotten over it. Well, we don't hear this on the news. That's right. That's why you're listening to this show. That's why my audience is the smartest audience. My emails, my text, and my all of the stuff, you can email me, by the way, Jay Hatfield at Natural Success Principles. You can find out everything I'm thinking about by following me on Twitter, twitter.com/Jack Hatfield. And, of course, go like me on Facebook, facebook.com/TheJackHatfield. I need every one of you to do that. Love to talk to you and see and meet you. And as we go across the country with disease and the diet, I can't wait to shake your hand. Anyway, you haven't heard this stuff. You haven't heard. All you see is the beautiful little commercial on TV goes, I'm not going to get cancer now. I just took my Gardasil. What? No, that's not the case. It's not a cancer vaccine. Could you imagine if someone came up with a cancer? You will not get cancer. Oh, wait, they did. It's called a uridorf. According to the University of Southern California. Here, I'm going to give you this little shot when you're a child and you don't grow no more. Minor setback. Minor side effect. Oh, how does all this go together? Wow. Okay, by the way, cervical cancer is an uncommon consequence of HPV infection in women. Because normally they'll find that stuff when you have a pap test. And if detected early, managed promptly, survival rates for cervical cancer already are over 90%. So, the vaccine had absolutely no proof and no clinical trials that it ever protected against cancer in the long term. It only protects against two different strains, and you can't have caught those strains prior to the vaccine. But even if you don't take the vaccine, right, your body will probably draw off the HPV anyway. If you do all of the four things that could possibly keep the HPV and get it infected inside you, and you do get cervical cancer, if detected early, managed proper survival rate for that cancer over 90%. We all have to have this vaccine. No ifs, ands, buts about it. And now it's so awesome, we need to give it to boys too. That's right, boys. Cervical cancer vaccine to boys. Let's wrap our hands around that for 2 seconds and see what's happening over in Washington. Okay, Washington State, there's a bill sailing through their state legislature right now called House Bill 1015 and Senate Bill 5005. Okay? This new law will legally require doctors and nurses to personally sign off on all religious or personal belief exemptions to vaccination filed with the state. Parents making the decision that they have chosen to not vaccinate their child will be required to include a signature from a vaccine provider on the exemption form stating they have been given vaccine benefit and risk information. currently Washington State mandatory vaccination laws only require signatures from medical personnel when medical exemptions are filed. But now parents that are making informed decisions on vaccinations issues now have to also go get that and listen to the timeshare. What? That's right. They have to listen and be given the vaccine benefit and risk information. So it's like you going to the timeshare to get the free gift, but you have to listen to the program first. There's a law in Washington State trying to do this. If that becomes law, doctors and nurses and other medical personnel will be put in the legal position of acting as an inquisitor of your religious beliefs or reasons that you don't want your child vaccinated or spiritual or conscientious beliefs. It's going to make the nurses, doctors look at you and go, now why do you not want your child vaccinated? Can you tell me why? And then he's going to put his glass down on his nose and goes, well then, to get my signature on your form, you're going to have to listen to this seven-hour-long presentation on vaccines and you. Why we're so freaking wonderful. They're going to make this law. It's already mandatory vaccination laws in Washington State, ladies and gentlemen. The state makes it easy for doctors and other medical personnel to violate an individual's informed consent and discriminate against those filing vaccine exemptions. Do you know $2 billion dollars have been awarded by the U.S. Court of Claims to compensate vaccine victims, mostly children's? So Washington State already has a law on the books saying you must get vaccinated. And it requires doctors and nurses and all vaccine providers. This law already on the books that requires doctors and nurses to give vaccine benefit and risk information before vaccination takes. They must record serious health problems, including hospitalizations, injuries, and death after vaccination in a child's permanent medical records. They must report serious health problems after vaccination, the Federal Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, the VAERS, and keep a permanent record of all vaccines given, including the manufacturer's name and lot number. Now, if that law is already on the books, why is there needing to be a new law that says you've got to go through the timeshare show? Because also in that law, it's trying to make it easier for doctors to punish parents making selective vaccine choices by denying their children medical care. That's right. The doctor can look at you. You go through the timeshare thing and say, I can't check your children out anymore because they may come in here and give everybody whatever they're not getting from the vaccine. Now, regardless of your opinion of vaccines, yes, there's an awful lot of people out there going, vaccines are bad, mercury kill you, blah, blah, blah. Yes. Okay? But I'm not trying to skew you one way or another. I'm just showing you all the facts. Once they say vaccination is mandatory, and then they make vaccines such as Gardasil and cervical cancer, which you don't even probably going to get ever, what's to stop them from saying, oh, this vaccine is for stopping ever getting tennis elbow ever again. We'll just give it. We're going to make it mandatory because you never know when you might need to play tennis.
All right? Well, polio. Remember of Dumb Billy? Dumb Billy Gates. Wasn't great. Remember, he's putting $10 billion of his own money. Not his own money, but his foundation's money. We're going to get to his foundation in 2 seconds. I don't want to run out of time here, but I've only got 14 minutes. $10 million to vaccinate everybody. Because he says the polio vaccine, that's beautiful stuff. That's proof vaccines work. That's what Dumb Billy said on a recent CNN interview after our program exposed what he was truly saying. Remember, let's bring that back up. He was saying population growth for the environment is the reason we need to vaccinate children. For the children. That's what he said at a World Health Organization meeting on stage. He then came to CNN with Sanjay Gupta, another Dr. Manny, and said, I'm doing it for the children because obviously we have vaccinated polio out of existence. So it's proof vaccines are awesome. That's what Dumb Billy said. Well, here's something you didn't hear. Dr. Maurice Hilleman, okay, the developer of the Merck's vaccination program, developed over 3 dozen vaccines, more than any other scientist in history, member of the U.S. National Academy of Science, Institute of Medicine, American Academy of Arts and Sciences, American Philosophical Society, received a special Lifetime Achievement Award from the World Health Organization. He's one of the early vaccine pioneers to warn about the possibility that simian viruses might contaminate vaccines. And he has an interview that says there could have been a contaminated polio vaccine that is responsible for human cancer today. Wait, you just said polio? Yes, I said polio. That's right. Dumb Billy's little evidence that vaccinations are perfect. Responsible, 100% responsible for up to half of the 55,000 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma cases occurring each year. Let me tell you, what was it contaminated with? It was contaminated with SV40, not WD40, that's a lubricant. And SV40, a cancer-causing monkey virus. This puzzle began to unravel in 1994 when a researcher found the virus SV40, never before been detected in humans, in half of the lung tumors he was studying. Since then, 60 different lab studies have confirmed the reports, and SV40 has been found in a variety of human cancers, including lung, brain, bone, and lymphatic cancer. 60 different studies. Did you hear that? Did Dumb Billy talk about that with Sunday? Did Dr. Manny repeat that when he said, you're a dwarf, you don't get cancer? No. You don't hear this. SV40. 60 different lab studies. Cancer-causing monkey virus. What happened is millions of vials of polio vaccine got contaminated with SV40, infecting individuals between 1953 and 1963, now causing human tumors. And in 1999, molecular evidence of the SV40 infections were showing up in children born after 1982. Some experts suggest the virus remained in the polio vaccine until late as 1999. That means me, you, and most of my other rest of the audience. Hopefully not my daughter. Still, your FDA has not said a word, and your Dumb Billy is trying to still put poliovirus everywhere. Vaccine everywhere, excuse me. Now, the last case of wild polio in the U.S., meaning polio not caused naturally and not due to the live polio vaccine. Because remember, just like Gardasil may well increase your risk of cervical cancer rather than reduce it, The live polio vaccine has also been found to cause polio. And in rare instances, the virus in the vaccine has been shown to mutate into a deadlier version. MSN News in 2009 said genetic analysis has proven mutated viruses that were used in vaccines have caused at least 7 separate outbreaks in Nigeria. Back to what I was saying about the wild polio in the U.S. The last wild polio was 1979. Dumb Billy says we haven't had polio since 1979. But he never says to you from 1980 through 1999 there were no wild polio cases in the U.S. But instead, we had 144 cases of vaccine-associated paralytic polio caused by the live oral polio vaccine. What did he never mentions that we give people polio by a live oral polio vaccine? Polio outbreaks in Haiti and the Dominican Republic in 2002, the same exact countries he says he wants to go give the vaccine to, were traced back to a strain of the oral polio vaccine that mutated back to virulence. Mutated back to virulence. The live polio virus from the vaccine can remain in your throat for 1 to 2 weeks and in your feces for up to 2 months. So not only is the vaccine recipient at risk, he or she can potentially spread that disease to others. In 1999, the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, ACIP, however you want to say it, said, we need to not have that live virus vaccine anymore. We'll do the killed virus vaccine. You didn't hear about that, did you? They just simply made that choice because they found out that we were giving people polio. But they didn't tell you that. Last year, the U.S. FDA suspended the rotavirus vaccine, Rotarix, after an independent lab discovered it was contaminated with a substantial amount of DNA from a porcine circovirus. That's right, pig virus. And in pigs, that virus caused poor growth, weight loss, weakness, enlarged lymph nodes, skin rashes, difficulty breathing, jaundice, stomach ulcers, and sudden death. Both the FDA and GlaxoSmithKline spokespeople stated that the rotavirus vaccine carried no known human health risk, even though we just gave it to hundreds of kids or millions of kids. However, that is easy to say because they don't have a study that confirms this. They don't even know what that's going to do to the children. Now, how come you don't hear all this stuff I'm just talking about? Well, let me tell you another thing that just happened today. The Supreme Court ruled federal law shields vaccine makers from product liability lawsuits in state court seeking damages for a child's injuries or death from a vaccine side effects. That's right. Washington State is about to make it mandatory that you have to have a vaccine, and if you don't, you have to go through the timeshare program. And the Supreme Court just ruled today, ladies and gentlemen, today that the vaccine makers are now shielded from product liability lawsuits in damages for your child's injuries from a vaccine side effect. Meaning, if the pig virus is in there, or there's a monkey virus in there, accidentally, we don't know how that got in there, and your kid dies. Too bad. Okay, Washington State is saying, we're going to give every kid this vaccine, and if your kid dies, the Supreme Court just said today, there's nothing you can do. We appreciate it. Thanks. Have a good day. Now, how come you don't hear this stuff? Could it be that Bill Gates' $10 billion and his big, old, wonderful, for the children, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, do you think that they could possibly taint the media's objectivity? ABC's recent special on an incubator to boost preemie survival in Africa and a new machine to diagnose tuberculosis in a developing world, or Ray Suarez's 3-part series on poverty and AIDS in Mozambique on the PBS NewsHour, or Public Radio International's piece on the rationing of kidney dialysis in South Africa. These reports, ladies and gentlemen, you just simply, that's recently occurred on those stations, ABC, PBS, Public Radio International, were bankrolled by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. What? That's right. Foundation grants from this foundation to media organizations such as ABC, The Guardian, PBS. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation giving $10 billion to give vaccines to everybody in population and environmental control
for the children.
Also funds media organizations' stories on how awesome their foundation is doing. To garner attention for the issues that Dumb Billy gets on with Sanjay Gupta and talks about, it's invested millions in training programs for journalists. Say, what now? Do what? Millions in training programs from journalists. It funds research on the most effective ways to craft media messages. Apparently, this Billy Melinda Gates Foundation hadn't gave me a dime, huh? Gates-backed think tanks turn out media fact sheets and newspaper opinion pieces. Magazines and scientific journals gets Gates money to publish research and articles. I'm not making this up. Experts coached in Gates funded programs write columns that appear in media outlets from the New York Times to the Huffington Post. The Gates Foundation spends more on policy and advocacy than most big foundations. Gates has devoted $1 billion to advocacy and policy, $3 billion a year spending to these media organizations. Do you understand? Training in nonprofits such as NPR and PBS. The International Center for Journalists got $6 million for a program that pairs veteran journalists with news organizations in Africa. And I am so out of time. Let me just tell you some of the organizations that are getting this money, and you make your own list in your own head. ABC, Public Radio International, NPR, Seattle University, Seattle Times, New York Times, and I already said ABC. Make your own determination on that list there. Make your own determination on your child's vaccines. Do your homework. Get with me on Twitter and Facebook, ladies and gentlemen, so I can keep you informed. This is vital. Dumb Billy's out there spending money left and right to make sure you don't ever see what I just said. And whether you want to give your child vaccine or not, that's your choice. I'm not trying to choose anything for you. But I also don't want none of my audience will be privy to just being drones and having a wire shoved deep in their brain. Excuse me. I mean, that will be fine, and Fix the Family, Fix America is off the air now. Thanks for the check, Dumb Billy. Woo! Y'all have a good one. Kiss your wife and significant other or whoever. Have a libation on me. Hope to see you next week. Thank you very much. Have a great day. Yeah.